Coming up on this week's episode, we're talking Manchester City versus Tottenham, Steve Cooper and Liverpool. Plus, we've got a quiz, Who Am I? And some Wonders of White, so let's get started. Hello and welcome to a new episode of You From The Sideline podcast. It's Chris here. Liam's here as well. Hello, Liam.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad, considering what a terrible run we're on at the moment. But
The tables have turned.
You kept telling me, don't worry, Liam, you'll get something out of the game. And sure enough, you were right.
I just said you needed a bit more faith, and there it was.
It's slightly running out, my faith, because we've not been great recently, but Juventus tomorrow night.
Well, let's if it carries on a little bit longer.
Yeah, easy game on Juventus to warm up for the big one next week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's always quite a tight game as well, so
it's one of those games. I don't know whether you feel the same. It's one of those games that form tends not to matter when Villa play Chelsea.
No, we've
been rubbish and we somehow managed to win, and the times when you've been at your worst and I've been at my most confident and somehow you guys win, and it can be 4-4, like there's countless classic Villa Chelsea games in years gone by. So who knows? It'll be 0-0 now. It'll be really boring.
Yeah. I mean, one thing we are good at the moment is when we are behind in games, we actually look like we're actually fighting in them as well. So there is that as well. But yeah, anyway, let's talk first about Manchester City. And what a run they're currently on.
About the same as Villa, to be honest.
Well, to be fair, I don't think anyone saw that. Well, I mean, you know, before the game, I would have thought Tottenham fans might have been confident, but I don't think that they thought for a second that they'd be putting four past Man City at Man City as well. I mean, I don't know what's going on. It just looks so unorganised all of a sudden. And the wheels just seem like they're coming slowly and slowly, and more are just coming off.
Yep.
And to be fair, Tottenham haven't been playing great recently either. But they, you know, they made the most of their chances on Saturday. And, you know, there was errors all over the field for Man City, especially, I think it was the second Madison goal.
Yeah.
Where Man City are sort of in and around their own box, passing it around, and then it was just one stray pass, and it was 2-0. And that's very unlike, you know, Man City of the last 4 or 5 years, where one of their strengths is in their defending. And I think John Stones came off pretty much at half time, didn't he? So, I mean, he's only just come back, but I mean, yeah, I mean.
It was a strange City performance. I think you're right. They gave the ball away more than I've ever seen a Man City team give the ball. Well, a Pep Guardiola team give the ball away. They had chances as well. And again, you don't expect Man City to miss the quality of chance. Well, you don't expect Haaland to miss the quality of chances they had. There was a couple of decent saves from Vicario, and I've read today that he was playing on a broken ankle as well, which makes it even more unfair.
He's out. He's going to be out now until March time, maybe even April. So, for them, their backup is Forster, is Fraser Forster, isn't it? So. I don't know. Oh, yeah, they may have to dip into the market maybe in January, but
maybe a loan keeper in coming. But
yeah,
I think you know, we've spoken a couple of weeks ago about them missing Rodri, and I think Ruben Dias as well at the back. But it's the second time in what 3 or 4 weeks that we've seen Kyle Walker be just sprinted past. So I think there's an element of that to it. They seem to. Spurs seemed to target both wings. It wasn't just you know, they weren't just targeting Walker, but they did really well out wide and created a lot of space. But yeah, to see Werner just absolutely motor past Walker, and it's the second time it's happened in quite quick succession. You do think now that maybe, you know, there are a few older heads in the Man City team. You know, De Bruyne is coming back from injury, but he's the other side of 30. Gundogan is 33, I think, something like that.
What, yeah.
About the same, 33, 34. You know, they've got a few players that maybe have just hit that part of their career where they can't have, especially the Premier League and Champions League and Cup games as well. You know, you're playing three times in 7 days quite regularly. Maybe there's a point where, you know, players are just are starting to struggle for fitness and they're losing their pace a little bit. But credit to Spurs. The game plan was really good. They've been so inconsistent recently. You just don't know what side's going to turn up. I mean, that is the Spurs side that played against
Villa. I was about to say, yeah, I think they want that one.
Yeah,
that one more.
The first half was the inconsistent Spurs, and in the second half, something just clicked and they came out a different team. That was the team that we saw for 90 minutes against Man City. So it just goes to show, if they click, they're a really, really good team. And I think they're better balanced now than they have been over the last couple of years. Now, they did bring a few players in summer, but I think they're more squad players to kind of flesh them out a little bit. But even they've come in and look quite lively. Brennan Johnson seems like a new player, and I don't think he started at the weekend, but obviously got his goal at the end. So, yeah, there's really good signs for Spurs. It's just maintaining that consistency. You know, they'll go into the next game. I don't know who they're playing next, but they should go in with confidence. But, you know, they lost to Palace. They lost to someone else, really, Ipswich, wasn't it, that they lost to recently?
Yeah, just before the...
And then they're Villa and City, so, you know, it's
yeah.
Season for them so far. But if they can get that consistency, they'll be a real danger, I think.
And for Man City, just going back to them, a huge game for them on Sunday against Liverpool. I mean, if they're gonna, you know, if they're gonna turn things around, I guess that would be probably the perfect start for them to turn it around. But it just seems very odd at the moment that, you know, after one or two games of losing, you kind of think, all right, the manager's going to get into them, say, you know, we do need to turn this round. But I don't know if it's just a lack of confidence for Saturday. They just, I don't know, going a goal behind, I think they almost, maybe they were just shocked, you know, by, you know, Tottenham themselves. And I don't think they expected Tottenham to come at them so fast. And you know, straight from kickoff, and yeah, it just to me felt like the game plan, whatever the game plan was for Man City, it just crumbled to pieces in the first half.
To say that if Liverpool beat them at the weekend, then the title race is over, because I'm looking at the table now. There's 8 points,
well,
11 points after 13 games. That is quite a big gap, but.
Yeah, that was the next thing that we were going to talk about as well, was the fact that obviously Liverpool being, you know, that gap already, and the way that Liverpool are playing, and the way that, you know, credit to Man City, you know, they've lost 3 Premier League games in a row, but they are still second. You know, the others are, you know, Chelsea, Arsenal, Brighton are all catching them. And another defeat for Man City this weekend could see them go down to fifth. So, you know, I think, you know, I know a lot of people come out and said it this week, but I think it could all be over by Sunday evening.
Yeah, isn't it? Really?
I think the way that Liverpool are playing at the moment,
yeah,
you know, they don't look like they're going to lose many games this season. I mean, they defensively, they probably look the best that they've looked for a long, long time. Konate is looking like one of the best defenders in the Premier League at the moment.
Yeah.
I think their issue at the moment may lie what happens over the summer, because I think it's been quite well publicised over the last 24 hours that Salah, Van Dijk and Trent are all out of contract come the summer.
three big players to lose.
I think they need to keep at least two of them.
Yeah.
The problem is for them is Salah, you know, his age,
yeah,
but he's still scoring a lot of goals. So I really don't think that they want to get lose Van Dijk either.
No.
And to me, they don't really have a replacement at right back either. So if I was to say out of the three of them, which one makes sense to leave, it would probably be Salah, just due to age and the money that you're probably going to have to offer him.
Yeah.
I think you could probably put that money somewhere else, someone a bit younger. But I guess it's up to the player at the end of the day, isn't it? And I can imagine he's going to have some pretty hefty offers on the table, especially from, you know, places like Saudi.
Yeah. And, you know, he's obviously earned the right to make his demands, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and I guess from their point of view, they're saying, you know, I know what I'm worth, and if I go to another club, I could easily get the money that I'm asking for, especially if I go to Saudi, they'll just throw whatever money I ask.
Well, you think he's going to be offered in and around the region of surely about £1 million a week, surely.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And Trent, I think, is linked with Real Madrid. I think he's been linked with Real Madrid, isn't he? Because I heard the press conference before with Ancelotti, and someone asked him about Trent, and he gave the same response, the cliche response. He's not, you know, he's not one of our players, so I'm not going to talk about him.
Yeah.
But so far this season, I think everyone's been very impressed. I think the big question about Liverpool was whether the change in manager was going to affect them, and if anything, it's probably brought freshness to the style of play that they're playing. And you know, at the moment, you just can't see them losing many games. And I think they'll beat Man City on Sunday. I think they'll win tomorrow night against Real Madrid as well, to be fair. But yeah, it's just all very in place for them at the moment. And going, I guess, back to the original question is, I think if they beat Man City, I think it's probably over already, which sounds silly to say after there'll be 13 games, I guess, on, you know, that's just over a third of the way there of the season, but I just can't see people catching them. And I think, you know, if anything, if they do end up losing players in the summer, I'm sure that they'll be able to attract some of the best, you know, players around.
They haven't spent that much the last sort of...
No, they haven't, like, thrown money around either. It's not like they've bought in loads of players.
Yeah, so financial regulations, I think they should be fine to bring in, especially because of the wages that, I guess, if Salah and Van Dijk were to go, the wages that they're on, I suppose, would count a lot towards, you know, a big...
Yeah.
...together to...
I think out of the three, Van Dijk will be the one, I think, that they'll probably try and keep the most.
Yeah, I think they will try and keep Salah. I don't know about Trent. I think maybe he's got his heart set on going somewhere else. Because there's a club linked, you always think, oh, there's something gone on between, like, an agent or, you know, there's... For a club to be linked with someone shows that they're maybe not that fussed about.
Yeah, something. And to be fair, I remember hearing an interview with Trent about maybe a month, maybe 2 months ago, and that they were asking questions about what, you know, when he's away on England duty, who's his best friend, and he said it was Jude Bellingham. He said that he shares a room with Bellingham.
Makes sense.
So, I think out of the three, I think he's probably, like you said, maybe have got his head turned slightly with the idea of moving to Real Madrid. I mean, who wouldn't, to be fair? And you got to think from a Real Madrid point of view, Nick, they've got Carvajal, but they don't really have anyone else at right back. And Carvajal now, he must be nearly 30, I think he's early 30s, isn't he? So I think, you know, for that, if they can get him on a free as well, I mean, that, you know, that's pretty damn good business, to be fair. But Yeah, it's, you know, I think everything's very rosy for Liverpool at the moment. And,
yeah, what I do like about Slot, I don't know what he's done differently to Klopp, but there's a lot of players for Liverpool now that I thought were maybe heading towards the exit, or, you know, were very much rotation options under Klopp. When they sort of came on, they didn't really look that bothered. You know, players like Gravenberch, who's, I think, done really well this season. Curtis Jones has obviously got an England call-up, and I think he has played really, really well in the games that I've seen him play.
Well, he played really well. When he played against Chelsea, he was probably the best player on the pitch.
Yeah, definitely. And it's... I don't know what managers have to do to keep squad players happy, but it seems at the moment like they are really a harmonious team. And whether you're on the bench or whether you're starting, you're still coming on and you're still giving all your effort. And you know, the form stretches not just through 11 players,
but
through the entire squad. So I don't know. Like you say, I mean, I think if Van Dijk or Salah go, they'll have to buy in a replacement. I don't know about right back, but I know that Bradley is sort of kind like stepped in every now and again. So I don't know whether they see him as the replacement to Trent. But I think the other one as well that you've got to be looking at, Keller has got to be a number one at some point. He's not going to sit on that bench behind Alex for much longer because they saved a penalty the other week. He's made, you know, he's decisive. He's good in the air. He's made some really good stops in previous games. So I don't think there's going to be too much longer that he'll be able to sit on the bench. And whether they think they'll move Alisson on and get money for him while they can, because he's 31, 32, something like that. Whether they'll move him on and promote Kelleher, or whether they'll decide to let Kelleher go, I don't know. But I think that'll be a decision they'll have to make in the summer because... if I was Kelleher, I'd be frustrated to be sat on that bench. So, decisions to make. At the moment, obviously a very positive atmosphere in the club by the looks of things.
Winning
games differently as well. Like, they really ground out a win against Southampton at the weekend. But they've had a mixture this season, I think, of controlling games and winning them, you know, by two or three goals. And then... you know, taking the game by the scruff of the neck like they did at the weekend and scrapping the odd goal, coming from behind as well, which is always a good thing to see when you're on form. They look a different proposition this year, I think, to last year.
Okay, so we'll move on now to another sacking in the Premier League.
My prediction's coming true, Chris. I don't know how many managers I've said. Let me just go, I'm going to go back to our predictions, I did have it open, but I did say there was going to be a lot of managers sacked this year. I haven't had a check yet to see if Steve Cooper was one of them. I might have to come back to you on that. Oh, 9 managers to be sacked or resign this season. I did have Steve Cooper as one of them, and I did have Ten Hag as the other. So we've got Russell Martin, Sean Dyche, Enzo Maresca, that one might be...
Excuse me?
Yeah. Postecoglou, Nuno Santo, Eddie Howe, and Gary O'Neill to go. So two out of 9 so far.
He's there. He's getting there. I mean, I do feel a bit sorry for him. I mean, it's not like that they've been terrible. I mean, they're 16th in the league at the moment. And it's not like that they've lost a huge amount of games in a row or anything. It just came out of the blue. I mean, the game on Saturday, they were awful first half. They were absolutely terrible. I mean, Chelsea could have scored 4 or 5 just in the first half. Second half, they gave it a good go and they just got caught on the break for the second goal. And, they didn't play great, but, I didn't expect them to get sacked. I mean, it was only, 4 games without a win? And before that, they beat Southampton and Bournemouth, which is ideally what they should be doing, beating the teams around them. So,
I think, because...
it just seems a bit odd.
Yeah, they obviously come up from the Championship last season. I know they came up quite comfortably, but you've got to question where they expect it to be if they're going to get rid of a manager for being what they are. I think they're relatively comfortable. I don't think they're in danger of going down. But obviously, they lost key player in Dewsbury Hall. Didn't have really replaced him, I suppose, because I think they're a bit tied by financial regulation.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't really know where they expect it to be honest. But I don't think he's done a bad job. I don't think he's done a bad job. I mean, I don't think he's done amazing. I think if Maresca would have stayed, it probably would be a little bit better off. I know the players really liked him. There was a lot of reports when he left about how United the dressing room was behind him and they were disappointed to lose him. But I think for Steve Cooper, I haven't heard too much fan unrest, and I do have some Leicester fans back at home for me, being born in the Midlands. I haven't heard too much in the way of them being annoyed and wanting the manager out, but I know that they weren't particularly happy with the appointment with the Nottingham Forest links. So maybe it's a sort of, you know, like when Alex McLeish went to Villa, it genuinely wouldn't have mattered what he'd have done. We could have won the league and we still wouldn't have been happy because he was a Birmingham City manager. So maybe there is a bit of a case of that. I'm not too sure. You know, I'm all for owners showing ambition, but I do think that is a bit harsh because they now run the risk, and we've seen it several times before. Watford have done it several times on themselves, where they sack a manager while they're just above the relegation zone, they bring somebody else in and then get relegated. And I mean, Leicester did it themselves a couple of years ago when they sacked Rodgers and they brought in Dean Smith. So, yeah, you would have thought they might have learned, but I guess the only thing this time around is they've done it quite early rather than wait until, I guess.
I just look at the league table and I just think to myself, where are they expecting to be?
Yeah.
I kind of don't get the whole process of sacking someone when I think 95% of football fans would say they're probably actually a bit higher than what we actually imagine. Because I had them in the bottom three, so. So they're actually exceeding the expectation that I had of them. And they're probably exceeding what most people are, but it's just the way football is these days, isn't it? It's just, and it's not like we'd heard, you know, before the Chelsea game, or he's got, you know, he's under pressure or anything, not from what I read or what I had heard. I don't think no one really knew that that was going to be his last game. I mean,
no, well, it did come as a bit of a shock to me. I can only assume they've got someone in mind to take over. But, I mean, I haven't heard who that is. So, yeah, I don't know. I genuinely don't know. It seems like it's all a bit last minute and they seem a bit unorganised. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see for them.
Cool. Well, that's the end of part one. We'll be back in part two with some Wonders of White, Who Am I? And a quiz from you, Liam. Hello and welcome back to part two of this week's episode. And Liam, we're going to go through some Wonders of White.
Nice.
I've actually got five. I hope that's okay. I'm going to say four. We're going to drop that one. We'll drop that one. Right. Okay. Marcus Rashford has scored in his first Premier League appearance under four of Manchester United's last five permanent managers.
Nice. That's a good.
Can you name the one that he didn't score?
The last five managers. So we've had Ten Hag.
So you've got Van Gaal, Mourinho, Solskjaer, Ten Hag, and, well, obviously, Armourin, but obviously he scored. But
I am going to guess Mourinho.
It wasn't. It was Ten Hag.
Oh,
That's where it all went wrong.
But he did. No, he didn't do well in Ten Hag's first season, did he?
No, he scored. So in Van Gaal's first game, they played Arsenal, and he scored twice. He scored once against Hull for Mourinho and once against Cardiff for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Yeah, I forgot that was because he used to manage Cardiff as well. Yeah. Okay, yeah. There you go.
So this is a stat which I wish was true. So Mohamed Salah's goals and assists have been worth 17 points to Liverpool this season, the most of any player in the division. And without them, Chelsea would actually be top of the league.
Wow.
And Liverpool would be 13th.
Wow. Still behind City though, right?
So the top six is Chelsea on 25. Arsenal 24, Brighton 23, Man City 23, Villa 5th on 20, and then Tottenham 6th on 19. So that's how much he's affected the Premier League table. If you took all this stuff out,
there you go.
Chelsea will be winning the league. Get rid of him.
Yeah, can't wait for him to leave on a free.
Just bear in mind, I don't know if Leicester's owners saw this, but Leicester are actually 18th in this league table when you take Salah's goals out. So maybe they saw the wrong table. I don't know. Maybe they saw this table. So just 20 minutes played against Spurs. This is the earliest Man City have been 2-0 down in a Premier League home game since December 2010.
Jesus.
And that was against Everton.
Wow. Yeah. They are a proper force.
And last but not least, so following Man City's defeat to Spurs and Liverpool's win to Southampton, the supercomputer of the title predictions changed. So before match day 12, this computer said Liverpool had a 60% chance of winning the league, whereas Man City had a 34% chance of the league. After this weekend, the computer said that Liverpool now got a 69% chance of winning, and Man City just 23%. I also like to add Chelsea went from 0.3% to 0.6% on this table as well. So,
I mean, 0.6%, and you're only a point behind City.
Yeah.
So the supercomputer clearly doesn't have any faith.
The supercomputer put Arsenal from 5% to 6.5%. So, but yeah, Man City's difference in percentage was minus 11 after that defeat, whereas Liverpool's went up by 9.2%. So, yeah. Liverpool, according to this supercomputer, are very much the team to beat this season. So,
nailed on. Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. Liam.
Quiz.
You've got a quiz, I believe, yeah.
I do have a quiz, as requested by you last time out.
Oh, here we go.
This is your A-League mastermind quiz. So, genuinely, I don't know anything about the A-League, so this quiz could be either way.
This is going to test me as well, because, you know, it's not a very common league, but I do know, probably apart from the Premier League, it might be the actual second league that I know the most about.
Well, we will find out. So, 10 questions.
It might not be.
Yeah. 10 questions.
Go on then, yeah.
10 quiz. No frills. Let's see how you get on. So, are you ready, Chris, for question one? Who is the all-time top scorer in the A-League?
That is a very good question.
It's the kind of thing that an A-League expert would know.
All right. Right, let me think.
I have written down a clue if you need it. I don't know how much it'll help, but I have got clubs.
So, I think... So I know that Jamie McLaren, I know, scored loads of goals for Melbourne over the last sort of 5-6 seasons.
Is that your final answer?
Not yet. No, it's not. Because I got to think. But then. I know there was also another guy called Archie Thompson, but I don't know how many he scored in. He scored a lot of goals as well, but he was early days of A-League. I'm going to go with Jamie McLaren because I know that I think he's finished like top scorer in the A-League like probably about 6 or 7 times, and he's played for probably about 5 or 6 A-League teams as well.
But you are correct. It is Jamie McLaren. He's got 150 goals in 215 games in the A-League. Yeah,
he plays for Melbourne City, though.
Well, he doesn't. He's moved.
He's moved, hasn't he? Yeah, yeah. But that's Melbourne.
Still this year. So, yeah, Melbourne City.
They're the Man City of the A-League, basically. They're owned by...
same people.
Yeah.
Yeah, he scored most of his goals for Melbourne City, but he's also scored goals for Brisbane Roar and for Perth.
He played for Perth, yeah. That's where he started. That's where he got his big break, was through Perth.
He was in the Blackburn Rovers Academy.
Was he?
Blackburn Rovers, what could have been? So, yeah, well done. 1 out of 1. Good start. Question number 2.
I'm not going to lie, that hurt my brain.
This might be a little bit easier, who knows. Which legendary Brazilian holds the record for the oldest player to play in the A-League? He played at the age of 40 years and 320 days for Adelaide.
I think he was like one of the first foreigners. Because this might have been pre-David Villa as well. So they went through a phase of like... I think in the late noughties, kind of like bringing over like high profile. I mean, it didn't last very long because the wages were too much. I know this answer though, it's Romario.
It is Romario, yeah. Legendary Brazilian. That was in 2006. He was still playing in 2006.
Played for Adelaide, I think, didn't he?
He did.
Adelaide, yeah.
He did. I don't know how many goals he scored for Adelaide, yes. He at least played. I don't think he was the oldest goal scorer, though, so maybe he didn't score for them.
Well, I think even sort of... He was loaned, I think, to Adelaide.
He did score. He scored 1 goal in 4 games. There you go.
Because I think he played heavily. I think most of his games came sort of... in Brazil, didn't they, Romario, I think, from what I remember. But...
Yeah, Barcelona and Valencia, but not...
Oh, that was a bit easier, that one.
That was a little bit.
More of those ones, please.
just to let you know, by the way, he has come out of retirement for the team America Rio de Janeiro, or the America RGA. He hasn't played for them yet. Right. Until 2024, he's a registered player. Anyway, question number 3. According to transfermarket.com, the record transfer for an incoming player to the A-League is £950,000. Can you name the player that was signed for that fee? Just so you know, I think this maybe is the most difficult question of the lot, possibly.
How much did you say it was? £950,000.
Big spenders in the A-League.
That's a lot for... I don't think I'm going to know this one. I'm trying to think who... £950.
I think, to give you a little bit of a hint, I don't know how much he left for, but he
can
left.
I have? Is he off? I can't imagine he's Australian.
He is.
He is Australian.
He is. So I think what's happened is he left the A-League to join another team, didn't play for the other team, and then came back to the A-League team that he left. So I think they basically paid what they received for.
Okay, yeah.
There was a couple of loan spells in the middle. He rejoined a team in the A-League that he left.
Hmm. The only one I can think of is maybe Adam Taggart.
It is not Adam Taggart. It is Riley McGree.
Oh, right. Adam Taggart, he's probably best known for playing for Perth Glory, but he's currently on his third spell.
Makes Perth. Sense. Logical.
So when you said that he'd left and come back, I thought, oh, maybe...
Yeah.
That's a lot of money, though, for them to be... Because a lot of the foreigners that went over there were mainly on free, or like a free, so...
So he left Adelaide United and he went to Club Bruges.
Was that Adelaide? Oh, right.
He never played for Club Bruges. He had loan spells with Newcastle Jets and Melbourne City and then rejoined Adelaide. Played for them for another season and now he's playing for Middlesbrough.
So he's gone again. right.
But he is actually playing for Middlesbrough, by the way. Sadly missed out on that one. But this one, a lot easier, a lot more up your street. There are currently 6 English players plying their trade in the A-League. Can you name 3 of them, or for an extra bonus point, name all 6?
Oh, blimey. Okay, right. I think we spoke about this.
We did, that's why I included it. The memory is.
Did I speak to you about this over there?
Yes. I think it was on the last edition of this, I think. It might have been after we finished recording, but yeah.
Okay, well, I remember speaking to you about at least 2, and that was Ryan Tunnicliffe and Scott Wootton.
Yep.
And I just can't remember the other bloody one. Oh, there's been so many.
There's 2 that I'd say are relatively well known.
There's one of them, I don't know, I think he's not. Trying to think if he's not. I don't think he's there now. But Jack Rodwell was only playing there last season. I know that. Oh, this is.
Yeah.
Oh, bloody Lolly, man! Joe Lolly.
Joe Lolly.
Oh,
are you going to take a stab at the other 3? I'll give you the point for 3 of them. Are you going to go for a bonus point?
Zach Clough was the other one, I remember. I can't remember the other 2.
The other 2 are Ryan Edmondson and David Ball, both playing in the A-League at the moment. So, yeah, 6 English players. But you got the points, that's good. So along the English lines, again, more up your street, who is the highest scoring English player in the A-League with 62 goals in 106 games?
How many games is it?
106. Give you a clue, it's not Daniel Sturridge.
He was only there for a year and he still didn't. He only played about 6 games, I think.
He was awful.
Oh,
I thought you may know this because I think he may have only left recently. I think I say that. I don't actually know. He is quite old now.
Is he still playing or is he retired?
He is technically. I can give you his current club if you like.
Oh, I know who this is. It's Adam Lafondre, isn't it?
It is Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah, played for Sydney for 5 years. got 62 goals in 106 games. That's according to Wikipedia.
I think he was out there for like 4, 5, 6. Where's he now? Where's he playing now?
He's at FC United of Manchester.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, by playing for Hibs. So he played for Hibs last season, now he's at FC United of Manchester. So he's non-league now. But he didn't leave long ago, the A-League. So, right, you got that one right as well. So you're on 1, 2, 3, 4 out of 5. Good going so far. So, question number 6. Which club currently tops the all-time A-League table with 225 wins out of 448 games?
Oh, my word. It's going to be either It has to be Sydney. It's Sydney FC.
Correct, it is. Sydney FC, yeah. Top by quite some way, actually.
They were the team until sort of Melbourne City started sniffing around. They were the team to beat sort of through like the 2010 to 2020.
Not anymore, sadly.
That's who Lafondre played for.
It is who he played for. Yeah. That's not your team though, is it? I can't remember your team now.
Perth. The team at the bottom.
There you go. Yeah, that's it. Team prop on the table. Question number 7.
Yeah.
Which manager won 2 league titles with Brisbane Roar in 2010 and 2012?
2010?
2010 and 2012.
Holy moly.
It's not actually as difficult as you might think, this one. But I can feel the cold swearing.
Wait a minute.
As the penny drops.
Is this Ange Postecoglou?
It is. Big Ange.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Big Ange Postecoglou, yeah. I'm guessing he started his career in his early days in management for him. But yeah. Won 2 titles with Brisbane Roar, 2010 and 2012. Can he do the same with Spurs?
No. They were, he must have joined them. When they changed it, because they weren't always Brisbane Roar.
That didn't come up in my research.
They were. It was 2 teams. They merged 2 teams into one. One of them was Gold Coast United, I can't remember the other team.
Wow.
Yeah, and they were renamed.
Bring up a little bit later on in the quiz. Maybe you slightly spoiled question number 9, but we've got question number 8 to go first. Which team features in both of the highest scoring games in the A-League, losing twice by 8-2?
Twice?
Yes.
Oh, blimey. Could be... Wellington?
It is not Wellington.
It could be Brisbane Roar, actually. I don't think it is.
It is not. It is the Central Coast Mariners.
Oh, right, yeah. They are pretty terrible.
Yeah. They've lost twice by 8-2. So, they are both the highest scoring games in the A-League. So. Question number 9. You've already given me one.
Oh, sorry.
There are 3 defunct teams that no longer play in the A-League. Can you name 2 of them?
I'm going to say Gold Coast United because I know definitely they are one of them.
Yes, that is one of them.
I'm not too sure on the other ones, to be fair. Because I can't remember. No, I can't name another one if I'm honest.
I'll give you 0.5 points because Gold Coast United is a pretty good shout. The other 2 teams were New Zealand Knights and North Queensland Fury. All around the 2012 mark.
That Fury team, they were the ones with Gold Coast United, so that's the Brisbane Roar team now. It was those 2.
There you go.
I honestly can't even remember New Zealand. Not I can't. That might have been pre... Even me saying it, to be fair.
I don't know, I've lost the page I was on, but I'm sure they were all between sort of 2010, 2020.
Oh, maybe they were, then. I just can't remember them.
I'm probably remembering wrong. So, but I'll give you 0.5 points because Gold Coast United is a good shout. Question number 10. There is a proposed future club that is as yet unnamed. Where are this team due to be based?
Oh,
I was really scratching around for questions by this point.
Really?
Yeah. But I spotted this. It might be the talk of the A-League.
Are you looking for like a the country or
The city.
The city.
Because they are based in Australia, and that would be an easier question. But it is a city that I knew.
Okay. I mean, they've had some new.
Just so you know, by the way, it doesn't give them a start date or anything. It just says that there is a club accepted from this place. They will be joining the league at some point. But I don't think anything is quite final. The only thing that is final is the city that they're based in.
No. Is it a team from New Zealand?
It is not. It is a team from...
No, I can't. I'm not too sure.
It is Canberra.
Oh, Canberra.
Canberra.
That's the capital, isn't it, Cam?
I imagine they will be sort of called something like Canberra Capitals or something along those lines.
Cobras.
Yeah. So, there will be a team from Canberra entering the A-League at some point, but they don't have a name yet, or a team, or a date, or a manager.
All right. Yeah.
Well, so, I'm
just going well, then.
I'm going to count your points. So, we've got 1, 2... 3, 4, 5, 6, 6, 6.5.
That's not too bad.
Mastermind,
I'd be pretty happy with that.
Yeah, that's not bad, right? I don't know whether Clive Myrie gives out half points, but he should do.
Man City have actually conceded twice. So it's actually 3-2 now. Arsenal 5-1 up as well.
Come back is on.
Santiago Jimenez scored for Feyenoord. The thorn in my side on Football Manager in an Ajax save that I did. God damn. It seemed like Man City were getting a bit keen and they took Ake and Foden off and bought McAtee and Simpson Pussy on.
Nice.
Just
want to say before we do move on to Who Am I, by the way, Chris, there's an incredible end to the game between Hibs and Aberdeen. Two mentions for Hibs tonight, Scottish Premiership fans. So it was 2-1 to Aberdeen until the 92nd minute when Hibs equalised. Then Aberdeen scored in the 95th minute to make it 3-2. Hibs have just equalised again in the 96th minute and they are now in the 90th of added time. And according to my phone, they have just blown for full time. So 3 added time goals.
See who got the assist for the last Hibs goal?
Dwight Gale, of all people.
Yeah.
Aberdeen making an incredible start to the Premiership season. I think they lost for the first time at the weekend. And they have a player called Duck, which is just...
Who am I? I think this is quite a tricky one. I don't ask why I picked this player. It's just one of those players that you forget that ever played for your club.
Okay.
And he wasn't going to be my Who Am I, but earlier I was just reading something and then you kind of went down a rabbit hole. And then this player's name cropped up and I thought, wait, he played for, really? I can't remember that. Anyway.
Interesting.
So this is a retired player.
Okay.
So he started his career at Bromby.
Okay.
He then moved to Bayer Udingen. Erdingen?
Right.
Don't worry too much about that one. He then moved to Bayern Munich, Fiorentina, Milan, Rangers, Chelsea, Copenhagen, and ended his career at Ajax. I mean, I've got, I could give you loads of clues if you want clues, but
from the weird German team, Bayern Munich, then Bayern Munich to Fiorentina.
Yeah.
Fiorentina to Chelsea, was that?
Well, it was Fiorentina. He went on loan to Milan for a season before moving to Rangers and then to Chelsea.
And then Chelsea?
Yeah.
That's got to be the clue. Rangers to Chelsea. There can't be many people that have made that move. Just, I guess it depends what time period. Rangers to Chelsea.
I'll give you a clue. He joined Chelsea in 1998.
Ooh. Okay. So it was, oh, I can never remember where Bromby are from, but I think it's Denmark.
Could well be.
So, I don't know anything about any of the other teams he played for, but I think he played for Ajax as well. Don't remember him playing for Bayern Munich. Don't remember him playing for Rangers. But the only Danish player I can think of for Chelsea.
Would do you want another clue?
Yeah.
Do you want another clue?
If I'm wrong, then yeah.
He is most known for playing for Rangers, I would say. And the other clue I'll give you is he has a brother that played football.
Oh, yeah, that's a big
His
one.
Brother might have been a little bit more famous than...
So it'll be... It's Michael O'Brien then, isn't it? So if his brother was more famous... I don't know, because they're both... I guess, I'm going to guess Brian, because Michael did stuff as a manager.
Yeah, and he and Michael played for Barcelona. It was Brian Laudrup.
Right.
He plays for Chelsea.
That has completely disappeared from my brain.
It's mine too.
Basically,
I don't know what I was looking at, but something come up saying, about him, and I was like, that's weird. He's in a Chelsea shirt. I thought that's very strange as to why. Is this just being fizzled from my brain? And yeah, he signed for Chelsea. And actually, after he had signed for Chelsea, Alex Ferguson actually called him and said, "Did you want to join Man United?" And he said, "Well, no, I've already signed a contract with Chelsea." And he became a Chelsea player. But he actually didn't want to play for Chelsea at all. And as the story goes, apparently he fell out with the manager because he didn't like the rotational way that they were playing. And because he was injured a lot, he only actually ended up playing 7 games for Chelsea. He scored 1 goal in the Cup Winners' Cup against Copenhagen.
Joined.
But, yeah, it was just one of those that... Joined. I don't know, I couldn't... He was wearing number 7 as well. Number 7 shirt as well.
Would it have been Hullet at that point?
It was Viali, I think. Ended up getting sacked that season. He just didn't like the rotational aspect of how it was. And I think it got quite messy because I think Chelsea threatened to take him to court because he didn't want to play for them. But they're saying, well, you signed a contract, so you're going to have to play, I'm afraid. Like the whole Lukaku thing, really. A bit like that. His brother was always better anyway.
I'm sure you've seen it as well. Although his time at Chelsea was brief, his performances were praised. Former Chelsea teammate Graham Lassone later named Laudrup in his greatest ever 11. That must have been an impressive 7 games that he played.
The montage that I watched on YouTube, because I had to see some of his play, because I just couldn't envisage him play. I was like, what? This is insane. And he was there. I mean, yeah, he scored 1 goal. But
yeah, of all the people that have made it into Graham Lasso, all the people that Graham Lasso has played with in the title-winning Blackburn team and obviously in Chelsea.
It's very strange.
Ryan Laudrup lost.
I mean, he retired 2 years after, anyway. He wasn't... I think it was down to injury. And he's actually born in Austria as well.
Yeah, born in Vienna. Yeah, but he played a lot of games for Denmark, to be fair. So...
Saying that, I've just realised that after scoring against Copenhagen, he actually then joined them after Chelsea. It's his goal knocked them out of the Cup Winners' Cup as well. So, yeah, I mean, his brother was always a bit more famous and a bit better, wasn't he? But, I mean, yeah, I don't know why. I could not remember him playing for Chelsea. It was just one of those things.
Yeah. Good one, though. That was good.
Just to top it off, Man City have completely choked. And it's now 3-3.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, they...
You've got to laugh.
Oh, dear. Anyway, that is it for this week. Anything else, Liam?
Not from me.
We'll speak to you soon.